Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports. South Africa's sports minister Fikile Mbalula says Durban may not be able to host the 2022 Commonwealth Games because of the cost of staging the event. At a media briefing Tuesday, Mbalula said, and I quote, "I don't want to raise your expectations and say everything looks good. It doesn't, because we are unable to agree on the fundamentals, and that is the operational budget. There's a possibility that the Commonwealth Games will be out the window." Mbalula says a final decision will be made soon by the Commonwealth Games Federation. South Africa's coastal city of Durban was awarded the Games in 2015 after being the only city to make a confirmed bid. Edmonton, Canada, withdrew its bid. After awarding the Games to Durban in early September 2015, the then president of the Commonwealth Games Federation, Prince Imran from Malaysia, had this to say.
"I hope that it is going to be a Games which everyone will embrace as a first Games for Africa and a legacy of not only South Africa, but Africa really continuing to bid for and even host successful future whatever games, you know, it is just a catalyst for African sport."
The Commonwealth Games were first staged in 1930 in Hamilton, Canada. The multi-sport event is held every 4 years and features athletes from about 70 countries, mostly former British colonies. The 2014 Games were hosted by Glasgow, Scotland, and the 2018 Games will be held on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. Meanwhile, sport fishing is one of the most popular pastimes in South Africa. Recreational fishing organizations estimate there are almost a million active anglers in a country with a population of about 53 million. Many target a species called carp, common in the country's freshwater rivers and dams. In recent times, a highly technical method of catching exceptionally large carp has swept South Africa. It's called specimen carp angling, and its tactics are designed to lure fish that can weigh 50 pounds and more into accepting a variety of hooked baits. My friend in Johannesburg, Darren Taylor, tells us more in part four of his series for the Sunny Side of Sports on alternative pursuits in South Africa.
An alarm sounds and a fishing reel screams as a carp seizes the bait at a lake in northern South Africa. The angler, his long rod bending, plunges into the green water to fight the fish to shore. Eventually, the 18-pound prize is splashing in the landing net. It's round and bronze, with light orange fins. Its downturned mouth and rubbery lips allow it to forage in mud and weed to eat insects, snails, and plants. Ducks and rowboats pass by a big bearded man in gumboots, waterproof pants, and a turquoise shirt.
You know, the small dam that we're fishing here now is in an urban area. It's a very old one. A 15-kilo fish would be seen as a good catch from here.
John Dearden is one of South Africa's pioneer specimen carp anglers. He stands by his rods, unzips a fishing tackle bag, and opens a packet of bait. Today, he's using boilies. They look like yellow golf balls. Their ingredients include sweet corn flavor, proteins, and fish meal, highly nutritious to carp. The boilie's big and hard, so small fish can't eat it. Dearden's loved carp since he was a boy in England, admiring their intelligence and the challenge of catching enormous old specimens.
Carp always had that sort of mysticism about them. So for me, it was almost like the holy grail of freshwater fish to target.
For him, carp fishers were just as mysterious as the creatures they were trying to capture.
Carp anglers were these elusive, different type of anglers. They would be away in these sort of secret little places, secret pools, trying to catch these very difficult and unseen fish. And that was the... Just take up the slack.
Dearden runs his line through an alarm mounted on a rod rest. If the device bleeps, a fish has eaten his bait and is hooked. He explains that part of the complexity of catching big carp is targeting their territory, like rocky underwater drop-offs where it's hard to place baits like maize kernels, oily nuts, and boilies flavored with anything from strawberry to spice. Specimen anglers like Dearden have revolutionized the sport and stand in stark contrast to the carp enthusiasts of the past.
The mentality was that you killed those fish, that the people who were fishing for them didn't have any real respect for them. There wasn't a culture of that. It was very much keep what you caught, or hook and cook as we used to call them.
But carp fishers like Dearden release their fish relatively unharmed. They land them in soft mesh nets that don't remove the fish's protective slime and even treat the hook wounds in their mouths with antiseptic.
You're investing in that fish, so it makes sense for you to look after it. The welfare of that fish is the sport that you're engaged in, and the enjoyment comes from catching those fish.
Dearden casts his bait into the water. Extreme patience also distinguishes specimen carp anglers from others. They often wait days and even a week for a bite, if it happens at all.
It might be quite common to catch a fish within an hour, but you don't want that. You've caught lots of 10s, lots of 12s. You could be looking for that 20 kilo plus fish.
Pursuers of carp also endure severe weather, like freezing nights.
The bigger fish come out in winter because there's a shortage of food. They tend to then patrol into areas where the anglers' baits, they'll come across them far more frequently. And then, of course, you've got the spawning, which takes place just after winter. A lot of those females are heavier. They take on a lot of extra nutrition as well, so they're maybe a lot hungrier.
Dearden's convinced some South African waters could soon yield some of the heaviest carp in the world.
I think more and more people are realizing the potential of our waters. They're untouched. People are starting only now to explore these new areas. So as these new areas are explored, more and more people are entering the sport.
Evidence of South Africa's untapped big carp resource is the increased visits of leading European specimen anglers to the country's waterways. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. 2017 is a big anniversary year for The Voice of America. We're celebrating the 75th anniversary of our first broadcast. The anniversary has allowed me to reflect on a few sporting thrills during my nearly 30-year VOA career. One of them occurred in 2004, when Liberian soccer great George Weah visited our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. Weah is still the only player to be named World, African, and European Footballer of the Year, earning those accolades in 1995. 13 years ago, George Weah visited our staff here in Washington and then joined me and the now retired Uncle Ted Roberts, one of the legendary voices at the Voice of America during its 75-year history, for a special program. And if you go to my Facebook page and check out the cover photo, you'll see me and George Weah in our VOA studio in 2004.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America, VOA.
Hi, my name is Florence Mwale, and I work as a reporter at Capital FM here in Malawi. With the world now a global village, the VOA's place cannot be overemphasized, since most of the issues it airs are pertinent to the advancement of least developed countries such as Malawi. All of us here at Cabaret Radio Malawi are thrilled to be associated with the VOA as a partner station. Some of VOA's programs on our schedule include Straight Talk Africa and Daybreak Africa. As Cabaret Radio Malawi, we are excited to be associated with the VOA. And now, as the VOA celebrates its 75th anniversary, we look forward to more live radio interactions and strengthened relations. Happy 75th anniversary, Voice of America, from Capital Radio Malawi.
Voice of America!
Here in Washington, a groundbreaking ceremony has been held for a new 20,000-seat stadium for Major League Soccer's D.C. United Club. The $300 million venue is scheduled to open in June 2018, giving United a true home after playing 22 seasons in 56-year-old RFK Stadium. Now, in terms of the cost breakdown, the city of Washington committed $150 million toward land acquisition and infrastructure costs, and D.C. United is prepared to spend more than $150 million on the stadium, which is within view of Nationals Park, the 9-year-old stadium that is home to Major League Baseball's Washington Nationals Club. And as the Voice of America celebrates its 75th anniversary year, I should also point out that both D.C. United's new stadium and Nationals Park are within walking distance of our VOA headquarters here in Southwest Washington. Among those on hand for the groundbreaking ceremony was Scott Keogh, president of Audi of America. The new stadium will be called Audi Field. Still here in the Washington area, European football giants Barcelona and Manchester United look like they're planning a friendly preseason match at FedEx Field as part of the annual International Champions Cup. The suggested date is July 25th, almost 6 years to the day that the European powers set a local soccer attendance record by drawing 81,807 fans to FedEx Field for Manchester United's 2-1 victory. Now, organizers of the International Champions Cup have not confirmed the Barcelona-Man U match, saying tournament details have not been finalized with clubs and venues. The full schedule will be announced March 21st in New York.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest bitter part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I will put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you, as always.
What is trending in the sports world on this last day of February?
Well, on the last day of February, we have a story out of the U.S. state of Texas that's been trending for the past couple days. It involves a high school wrestler by the name of Mac Beggs. Now, a little bit of background. Mac Beggs was born biologically a woman, but identifies as a man in terms of gender. So Mac Beggs is transitioning from being a woman to a man. And Mac Beggs is also a wrestler, involved in wrestling throughout his high school career. Well, there's been a bit of an issue with this issue of gender identity, and Mac Beggs won actually the Texas girls wrestling title because according to the rules in Texas, Mac Beggs being born a female has to wrestle against females. Now, this has kicked off a bit of a debate whether this is groundbreaking or unfair. And you have people on both sides kind of arguing those points. And this is part of a broader discussion in the U.S. There's been a lot of talk about transgender rights in the United States. And in athletics in particular, it's a big issue because it is classified by gender. You have men's sports and women's sports on the high school and college level. So you have people saying that Mac Beggs is taking a stand, is kind of a trailblazer. Other people saying it's unfair that he can wrestle or should be wrestling with men instead of women. But it actually comes back down to, and this is interesting, one person noting on social media, the Texas rules, the state rules, say that Mac Beggs, being born a female, has to wrestle with women. If it was on the college level, the NCAA rules say that he could wrestle as a man. So a lot of back and forth with this, a lot of people angry at the rules, confused about the rules, and it might lead to a shift in how college sports and high school sports are conducted in the United States.
Those who say it's unfair that he's allowed to wrestle against girls, Andrew, is there any mention of testosterone levels and maybe Beggs will have a strength advantage?
Yeah, so that's part of the issue, is that Mac Beggs is taking testosterone as part of this transition, and so they're saying that is giving an unfair advantage. It's one of these things that it is so new in athletics that it's going to have to be sorted out. It may have to go through the legal system in the United States. As we were talking about when we talked about the story a little bit off the air yesterday, this happened at my alma mater here in Washington, D.C. The George Washington University had a women's basketball player named Kai Alam who was transitioning to be male. And so that was an issue on the collegiate level. I believe Kai Alam was the first transgender athlete in NCAA history. So it's, and this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So this is something that's very new. It's causing a lot of debate on social media. Sometimes we have these issues that intersect sports and politics, and this is one of them.
And just from a skill level, Mac Beggs is a talented wrestler.
Absolutely. And that was one tweet that I saw. Somebody said, you know, he had the choice of either wrestling against girls or quitting the sport that he loves, and he chose the former instead of the latter. So it is a difficult decision sometimes for these athletes to make. And again, this is a story I think we're going to hear about for years to come as this issue is sorted out.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, big story in college sports. We're approaching, of course, March Madness, the NCAA college basketball tournament. And as we lead up to that, we're seeing what we call Senior Day at a lot of schools. Now, this is the last home game of the regular season for different college basketball teams, and they honor the seniors who are graduating, who won't be on the team anymore. And this past Sunday, a really nice moment with Michigan State University. They have a guard, Aaron Harris, who suffered about a week and a half ago a season-ending knee injury. And so he is sidelined, won't be playing anymore in his college career. Well, on Sunday during Senior Day, with about 3 seconds left in the game, Michigan State was up by 10 points over University of Wisconsin. They were going to win the game, no problem. They brought in Aaron Harris for those last 3 seconds, got a huge standing ovation, kind of hobbles out to the court with this big knee brace on, and he bends down. Looks like he's about to do a push-up, and he bends down in the middle of the floor, and he kisses the Michigan State University Spartans logo in the middle of the court, which is a tradition. Such a touching moment that so many fans captured that were there on their phones, put up on social media. And as he hobbles back off the floor, you see the University of Wisconsin players, his rivals, they're giving him hugs, they're high-fiving him. A really great, classy moment in sports. It shows what sports is all about. A lot of people were saying that other than the competition, it's about the love of the game, and it was really demonstrated between these two teams.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Peter the Carp Angler Herbst, and Peter is hoisting a huge carp. We heard a feature earlier in the show from Darren Taylor on carp fishing in South Africa, and Peter the Carp Angler has definitely hooked a big one in that photo. I used to fish for carp when I was a little boy, Andrew, but I never caught one that big.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a look at this photo. It sounds reminiscent. We have some viral videos in the U.S. where people go with and kind of stick their arm in the water, and these massive catfish come up, and they're like 8 feet long, and it's amazing. But anyway, another viral video that in addition to the one we talked about with Aaron Harris, imagine, if you will, you're out on a nice kind of warm night in the wintertime in San Francisco. You're out on the tennis court with your friend. You're playing tennis, and Serena Williams comes along and challenges you. Out of nowhere and challenges you to a game of tennis. Well, this actually did happen in San Francisco. Serena Williams taking a number of Snapchat snaps with her fiance, Alexis Ohanian, out walking with him in San Francisco. They come upon a tennis court, and she says, I'm going to surprise the two guys who are there on the tennis court playing and see if I can challenge them. So she walks up and says, can I get the winner? And they are dumbfounded. They can't believe that she's there. I mean, who would expect? You're out playing tennis in you know, the evening, and Serena Williams just pops up. So throughout the series of snaps on Snapchat, we see her you know, getting onto the court. She has a little dog, Chip, with her. It was a little terrier. He's there on the sidelines. She's not wearing her Nike shoes. She's wearing these nice boots. So she says she gets a little bit of a, you know, disadvantage there. But the one shot that we see is that she serves the ball and the guy just dumps it into the net on the other end. So no way he could return that. But the end of the video, she does say the moral of the story is you never know when I'm coming to a tennis court near you. So very cool video.
Great
a lot
story.
Of fans seeing that and saying, gosh, I wish Serena would come and visit me on the court. But a really cool moment for those two guys. And just a really cool moment for Serena Williams out and, you know, just with her fiance and saying, hey, I'm going to go on the court and show these guys what I'm made of and show them a really good time because they got a nice photo at the end with the three of them. So definitely a moment that they'll remember.
Great memory indeed for those tennis players out in San Francisco.
Yeah, and you never know when Serena's going to pop up on the court.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. And that wraps up the February 28th edition, the last day of February of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On February 20th, the United Nations declared a famine in parts of South Sudan. This crisis is man-made, the direct consequence of a conflict prolonged by South Sudanese leaders who are unwilling to put aside political ambitions for the good of their people, said State Department Acting Spokesperson Mark Toner. South Sudan gained its independence from Sudan in early July 2011. Peace lasted less than 18 months. In December 2013, a power struggle between President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar erupted into civil war. A peace accord signed in 2015 has failed to stop the violence, and the continued fighting led to a collapsing economy and wildly escalating food prices. Food insecurity, hunger, and malnutrition have all grown steadily worse since the conflict began. Today, some 100,000 South Sudanese are on the verge of starvation, and 7.5 million people, more than half the country's population, will require humanitarian assistance this year. The United States is gravely concerned by the February 20th declaration of famine in parts of South Sudan and by the significant scale of humanitarian need throughout the country, said Acting Spokesperson Toner. We call on President Kiir to expeditiously make good on his promise that humanitarian and developmental organizations will have unimpeded access to populations in need across the country, he said. Humanitarian actors are working tirelessly to reach those in need. All parties to the conflict must stop impeding relief efforts and allow food and other essential assistance to reach those who need it the most. The United States remains the single largest donor of humanitarian assistance to South Sudan, having provided more than $2.1 billion since 2014. Our assistance, including more than 600,000 metric tons of urgently needed food assistance, has saved lives and helped avert famine for three consecutive years. We call on donors and other members of the international community to provide timely additional humanitarian assistance to save lives and support the people of South Sudan.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tuesday on Health Chat. February is Heart Health Month in the United States. Host Lenore Moudou will end the month with a look at children and heart disease. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC. Right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the latest political developments in Somalia as the country moves forward under the leadership of newly elected President Mohamed Abdullahi Farmaajo. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa. At 1830 UTC.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.